This is Joanna Spitzer, and I'm here at the Art School and Art School with our artist in residence, Sarah Simmons, who's been with us for a few days. Why don't you tell us where you're from, where you're going, before and after you've been here? Why don't we start with that? All right. I guess I'm coming from the UK, but I was here in New Hampshire for a while, and Becky Shaw told me to go and visit you, and I was like, hell yeah. And after this, I'm going to California and then going back home to be unemployed. And you just finished your degree, so your MA from Sheffield Hallam. And when you first talked to me about coming here, I told you that Syracuse is a lot like Sheffield. Do you think that's true, or can you think of ways that that might be true? It's definitely true. Kind of like this sprawl of post-industrial kind of city, and I guess there's kind of a sort of community here that sort of exists in Sheffield as well. So there's that. It's kind of like a twin city.
Yeah. And we will set up a sister city program between the two.
Yeah. It should have like an exchange, but that'd be kind of cool.
Looking at your work, it seems to be very much engaged with the city, and you're thinking about space a lot, and that sort of comes out in different forms. But why don't we just start, like, maybe we'll just talk about the city, like, how do you envision the city, or how do you respond to a city? I mean, you've done a lot of work around, like, the architecture and the boundaries of Sheffield.
I kind of always been interested in architecture in a spatial way, so when I was a graffiti artist when I was a kid, and then I realized that it wasn't graffiti per se that I was interested in, but how people react to the space, which was the most interesting part. And that's what I realized when I got to art school, because they didn't like graffiti. And then when I looked into it, I kind of took in my surroundings, like Sheffield, that's like Syracuse, post-industrial, no kind of industry to go into, a lot of unemployment, and then the city culture is very, and this is happening in every city in the UK pretty much, like Blackpool and in Liverpool, where we knock down awesome buildings that could be used for, community centres or, like, artist stores and things like that, and family-run businesses for real cheap rent. But what they do is they knock them down, ruin the culture of the area, displace the poor, and build these luxury apartments that are still empty, like, 4 years on. And then it makes every city look exactly. So Sheffield looks exactly like Manchester at the moment, which looks kind of exactly like Liverpool. And so I kind of wanted to try, and I was looking at the groups like PAD/D at the time, and they did that show Not For Sale, and I was like, oh, maybe I could do something like that and try to stop the regentrification of Lower East Side. But in Sheffield, didn't exactly work, but I definitely opened a whole channel of community for me. And I realized it's an issue that people were on to because they get involved and help me do my artwork. And then that opened a whole different side of my projects, which is kind of interesting.
Look, I know one of the projects was a luxury flat. Can you talk about what that was and who's involved?
Okay, yeah. I set up a fake architecture company called Utopian Protagonists. And at the time, they were moving our art school down to the city and knocking down so they could build more luxury apartments. So I changed my studio for the like, last 2 months into a showroom flat. So I like put down a laminate floor in and a plant and nice lighting. And I made it super small, even smaller than my studio was. And put adverts in, like, real estate agencies and, like, the newspaper, and there was a website, and obviously I had this fake kind of campaign running, and people would email me and ask if there was a show flat, and that's why I decided to make it, and people would come and look at it, and I think maybe they picked up on it slightly that it was maybe art, but at the same time, some people didn't get it and were really interested in buying this really small flat just because the idea that it used to be an art school or because it used to be art studios, and then imagine the kudos to status thing with it.
So you carried it through, people would contact you and arrange a visit, and you would continue on as the real estate person.
Yeah.
Showing the flat.
Yeah, I did.
What did you do when they wanted to buy?
to that point, they said they'd have to, because I deliberately made it extortionate. So it was like $500, I mean, no, £500 per month. And, but that included water, so it was still kind of a good deal in a sense, but not good enough for the size, like it's like New York real estate kind of thing. And so they kind of thought of me a bit, but I'd be like, sorry, this is all I'm allowed to offer, because these are like top of the market, like better than London kind of flats, and you know, we had to displace the artists, and they're like, okay, well, we'll have to go back and discuss it with the family or the boyfriend or whatever. And then so I got emails, but I didn't know how to take it from there, because I didn't want to go, it's all, or like,
so you never did the reveal. Some of your drawings and collages that you made are sort of these imaginings of the city, often the buildings are sort of collaged together within them. Can you talk about that? Like the, and I think there's kind of a difference, like the photo collages, sometimes you put those up in spaces, and then the drawings, I'm not sure if that's like a thinking process, or it seems like in that collage you're thinking about like what the past and the future of the city.
Yeah, the drawings, I don't know, there's something as an artist, I always draw when I don't know what to do, or, and I guess architecturally I'm interested in like the line. So that's why I like to draw buildings quite a lot. But the photo montages were, like, it started out as, like, these utopian kind of things, and they looked kind of futuristic and sci-fi and a bit too surrealist. And then as I did more, it became obvious to me that I was kind of, like, trying to recreate cities that look like they exist, but they totally don't. And it was kind of like, how would you build a city? Like, there's got to be water nearby and, like, all these kind of industrial things. And I liked putting them, I was looking at favelas, you know, like, the idea of, like, how these people build, they go over to, like, a private property and then hack into the grid system and then create this whole other level on top of another level, so they have like their own postal system and things like that. And I read this whole book about it, and there's like one near New York in the city in the 90s, but they like the government at the time, the council was like, no way is this going on, because imagine if we let you do this, then the whole New York like real estate will fall apart, because people just start like building or squaring where they want, and this idea of public, private and public property would just kind of go crazy. So I started like postering, putting these big photo montages up in the city, like posting them up on mostly on flat walls and boards and stuff like that to get people to think. And it was a great conversation piece, because people would see different things in it, like, oh, this is about like people knocking down buildings, this is about like the poor, this is about can create our own city, and it was great. I think part of why I liked going out and fly postering them was just so I could have a conversation with people. So that was like the process, and they'd always stay up on like the other, like the fake architecture company, like people, like I don't know when the construction workers would take them down or whatever, but the photo montages are like still up, so that's kind of cool.
And it might be coming from your beginnings as a graffiti artist, but it's in kind of power relationships between those who don't have money and therefore don't have any maybe control over their space, as much control over their space as the people that do. So I'm wondering, like, what, there's this like imagining of a city, and then there's also sort of the reuse and kind of adaptation of things in the city and co-option of spaces in the city that seems like you're interested in.
Yeah, that's totally true. So, and that's, like, the graffiti artist kind of takes what's not theirs and, like, says, well, it should be, like, it's unused, so why not, you know, it's just this empty space. And there was this other project that I did, I just left them, I was on my way back home, and I printed off, like, 100 posters that said not for sale, and just all the way down the street, just posted one on everything, so, like, trash cans, cars, bins, walls, trees, and it just looked like, you know, people would, like, go to the house in the morning and be like, what? And that was cool, because I got picked up, that was in the thought about public space, the more I revealed that there's no such thing as public space. And, like, if you look through time, the public space is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But then I would kind of get an interest in this idea, like, well, what can constitute as public space? So, like, is the internet public space and things like that? So
I also know that you're a fan of both Walter Benjamin and Henri Lefebvre, and they both write about experience of space a lot, and particularly cities. Could you talk about maybe what your relationship is to their writings or their ideas, and how that's kind of become part of the way that you work or think about your work?
Especially with the imagining the city, reading Eckel and Henry.
I was trying to do it proper.
I call it Wally B. We'll call him Wally B and Henry. Talk about Wally B and Henry for us.
Just reading Henry. And it took me a while to pick it up what he was getting at.
I've said in previous conversations, like, I read a lot of Marxism when I was a kid. So me and Henry, we were just down straight away. So this idea of kind of creating, like, how the space can relate to your own social being. And it just got me thinking, because I'm coming from a working class background, the idea of space to me is really important, because there's nowhere where I come from, there's nowhere to hang out and things like that. And, like, when you look at a high street in Sheffield, for example, it's deliberately urban planned so that there's things in the way so people can't congregate, so you can't have a riot together, you can't protest together, because there's, like, a phone box, or there's, like, these big round boulders, which are, like, ornamental, but or for, like, design purposes, but they're not. It's a design purpose to stop kind of that revolution, or stop skateboarders and things like that. And I just thought, like, how, like, reading Henry's work, like, how space could be revolutionary. And it's like urban planners and the council have picked up on this and just designed around it so, like, you can't join together, which I thought was super interesting. With Walter Benjamin, like, the whole Flaneur thing.
Yeah, can you explain that? That's where I listen.
I guess, the Flaneur, or however you say it in French, is kind of like the city dweller, wanderer that goes around and just kind of exists and just spots things that a normal, like, just a person that wasn't dwelling would notice. I don't know, a lot of people call a friend of Flaneur because she works with found objects that she has to walk through the city to find them, like, and it's just stuff that I would never notice. And so with Holy he is very, like, oh yeah, Flaneur, and that's like the graffiti artist. You kind of wander through the city, you see what's good. And it's the same with the work, like, creating your own city, like, what's happening. So by putting all these, like, different areas of architecture together, like modernism meets post-architectural. And I think it's the way that my collages mix together, I'm kind of going to go off topic right now, it joins in this idea of neoliberalism, like the whole, because I read this article about postmodern architecture and neoliberalism. I can't really remember it properly right now. I was like, oh, that's totally my artwork, right? That's like this kind of negation, and like how postmodernity is a way forward for like postmodern architecture is like a big, like, FU to democracy in a sense. I wanted to pull these different types of architecture together in my collages to kind of, like, say, you know, we can build all this together. We don't have to ruin one thing. We don't have to have, like, these buildings that are just for, like, brand purposes. So a lot of buildings today are very much, like, bland, so that they do become a brand in itself, because then you recognize them, like, throughout the country. Yeah.
I'll get back to that idea of public space, because it's an interest I have. I think there's a certain mythology of the street and then also the public square, and maybe that common ownership that's through government or something, that, you know, this belongs to the people. But increasingly, there's the privatization. I would say, like, the mall is the public space, even though it's owned by a company and they can control what happens. friends in there, and they do. Or, you know, is the internet, again, that's like not, that's a little more chaotic. Maybe that's a better thing, but it's not a physical space. You know, do we abandon the physical space for the virtual? Or even, you know, things like how people move through a city, cars and things like that have really allowed us to kind of stay in our own private sphere all the time. So it seems like you're trying to pull us out of that privacy in some ways and think about how we can create public space, even if it means taking it and ignoring it, creating a sense of ownership, even if we don't own it in a system that recognizes ownership or something.
Yeah, that is exactly it, right? you did that very well, right? Yeah, that's kind of it, like, especially cause, like, over here in America, like, as soon as you get out of the city, like, you can't exist without a car, which is kind of, that's totally foreign to me. I don't know how to drive. And I was in New Hampshire, like, 3 years ago, and I was walking down the street because I didn't have a car. And these cops drove past me 3 times and then stopped and then went, "Excuse me, ma'am, you're looking suspicious." And I was like, again, I always feel suspicious when a cop drives by, but I was like, why? And he's like, "Because you're walking." And I was like, well, either way, this is what we do in England. And so thankfully, I was up to no good because I wasn't in a car. Like, she must be doing something because she's walking the streets alone. And I guess I found that kind of interesting at the time. That's before I started all this work about, like, your own spaces and things. And, yeah, it kind of goes back to the whole favela thing that I was looking at. And especially in Sheffield in the UK, you can kind of see we used to have a lot more green parks in the centre, and slowly they take it away by adding, like, walls and things that we don't need and gravel. And there was this beautiful thing outside the theatre, which is now just a couple of chairs. So instead of having, like, 100 people sit there, they just want, like, 10 people to sit there, which is kind of interesting in itself. I don't know how we can claim that space back from these people and with the real world, but, like, I think there needs to be some sort of discussion which allows us to push the barrier so they don't mind that we congregate, because I don't know what it's like over here, but it's like the same on an aeroplane. You can't congregate in, like, big groups, especially if you're younger in the UK, because people find it really, like, oh, they're going to do something, but, you know. some of your other drawings are more like diagrams of words, and it's sort of, they're maps in a sense to maybe a system. I mean, I think of it spatially, even though it's maybe not a physical thing. Like, there's different spaces that maybe you occupy. Like, there's art school, art world, city, you know. And it seems like those maps maybe an intellectual space, like a way of journeying through these different thoughts and relationships among things. Is that how you, can you talk about more of these diagrammatic sorts of drawings? I guess when I looked around and I was kind of getting bored with doing the photo montages and wasn't sure where I could take it from there, because I was like, well, how much does this negotiate space and things? And so I worked for Area Chicago, and I've always wanted to be an art writer, but I'm not very good at it. And it's taken I've been, like, fooling myself for, like, 3 years. And I said to myself after working there, I was like, you know what, I'm just not cut out to be a writer, and that's fine. And then I got back to college and realized that what I wanted to do was write through kind of drawing and, like, document the system that way. Because there's, like, the visual, like, purely visual, and then there's, like, the written sense, and I just kind of wanted to join both together. And again, like, this idea of space was definitely in there with the maps. And I don't know, like, how you work, but my process when I think about how I'm going to move work forward, I always do a mind map. So I can kind of see, like, what the debates are around it, and it helps me visualize it. And then I was kind of like, I could totally do something like this because it's just as interesting. I guess it's kind of, it goes with the idea of space. It's basically the access into the structure, into structures and things. So whether that's education or the city or regeneration, it's like, who owns the power, and, like, who negates this value to something. And these
so that it seemed to appeal to more people and it's a bit more fun. So you can kind of remember it more as well when you leave.
Yeah, there's a lot of humor in your work, and sometimes, like, it's not serious because it's humorous, but I actually think it's a way of forming a relationship in a sense, and it also seems like you're a funny person too, so it seems like it kind of connects it back to you.
I got told that I was kind of a funny person. I wanted to be funny, but I've never really seen myself as a funny person.
Laughing with you, not at you.
It's like the best way to connect, because I always remember things if it's funny. I'm like, oh yeah, like that. I guess that's where I'm at right now, is the whole drawing system thing. So it was really funny. I did the one about Sheffield art scene, a bit like William Powell Hyder's work slightly, but I'm sure I was doing it before he was. So I did this whole big piece that was kind of uses conspiracy theories, which is another way of like, I read this really academic paper on, like, conspiracy theories, how people undeveloped, like, they're not registered in academia. So if I wrote about conspiracy theory at my college, they'd be like, oh, no, you're just paranoid, you're crazy, like, big F or something. That's because it's a way of, like, not concealing it in the system. Like, can't diss the system through, like, a fiction. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way to, like, look at the system through this paranoid narrative, but I call it paranoid. That was kind of fun. And then the documentary film festival that happens in Sheffield called DocFest caught sight, like, heard about it somehow through the grapevine, I don't know how, and they invited me to speak with them, and they were like, we would love it if you could do one about, like, how hard it is to become a documentary filmmaker, and they gave me, like, all the inside information, and that was kind of fun.
As I wanted to talk to you, you work with groups, you have several different sorts of loosely organized people in the UK, and then also your experiences here in the United States. You were in Chicago a year ago, in
September.
Okay, so you've been here a few times, and you've worked with actually some really interesting people that I'm big fans of. So I was wondering if you could just talk about, let's start with the American stuff, and then we'll go back to your British stuff. So talk about some of the people you've worked with here.
I work in Chicago. I'd been to Chicago for like 2 days, and I managed to pick up an Area of Chicago and a Proximity magazine, and I read it on this crazy, like, 24-hour train ride from Chicago to New York. And I got off from New York and I was a completely different person. I was like, damn, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is the type of stuff I want to do.
What was it about it?
There was the first issue, like, Area of Chicago was about how we learn. That was that I picked up a really old copy that was just available in this bookstore. And then the other one was Invisible Cities, and it was kind of all about how, like, one of the articles that really struck me was the, like, artists trying to make grants for other artists. So people working other jobs or setting up organizations which help artists get a bit of money to do their own projects. And I was like, that doesn't really exist in the UK, that kind of, like, collectivism with people you don't know, you know, for people you don't know. And so I went back and we had to do a research paper to graduate. And I wanted to go to Chicago and work with Eric because their whole mission is kind of a bit like my practice. They're interested in the city, this education side of things, the art, how people can relate and network together. And so I emailed them and they were like, yeah, sure, you can come and help us. And then I also emailed Proximity because I was like, that, you know, they're a bit more arty in a sense. So I was kind of interested in, like, helping them do the publication. And I worked mostly with Area Chicago. We worked briefly with Proximity. But it was really fantastic because I got to meet this whole network of people in Chicago, from, like, temporary services to Free Walls Gallery. Even the Chicago Cultural Center, we did a talk there about privatization of space, which was kind of cool.
And there was that woman that wrote the book about Goose Island, the revolution, there where all the people sat in the Windows factory, and like it's the only like it was a big thing because like people joined together and the union gave them all the money which they deserved, and that doesn't happen in America. So this woman wrote a really small book on it, and they did a talk there, and we helped to sell the books. And then there was this protest against banks that we had to do stuff for, because it was like, you bail the banks out, you can help us out. So that was super interesting, and it just got me so stoked, and that's why I ended up changing my practice a lot from these like collages to these mapping the systems, because I felt like the discussion needs to be a bit more in depth or a bit more focused like area. And so I worked with Daniel Tucker, who does a lot of work on, he does an A-Start area, but he's also like released a book about farming activists, which is kind of really cool. And so I worked with them, and I worked on the other side of the spectrum, so that's nonprofits, charitable things. And then the year before that, I worked at Postmaster's Gallery in New York, so I figured that I could try. The way you can critique the system is to be in the system and then step out of it. So I worked there, and I really enjoyed it. But it revealed to me that you've got to network to get anywhere. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm from Sheffield, as long as I can get in there and go to all the exhibitions and, like, know the right people that can introduce me rightly to the right people, and it's all good.
Can you talk about people that the different groups like CAKE, and I can't remember them all now, you can tell me. There's different ways that you kind of organize the people that you're in conversation with in Britain.
Yeah, the CAKE was an art space that we set up because we were sick of like how crappy the art scene in Sheffield was, because it's very elitist, or they've got this sweat on the bad deal with the Dutch, so we just keep getting a lot of Dutch artists like showing in Sheffield. And it's apparently Sheffield has the biggest art community outside of London. We would never know that because of how people kind of react to us. And so we set up CAKE art space, and this guy was failing his business. He had this huge white space upstairs, and he just gave us the space whilst he was open so that we could bring in business for him. We did a bunch of, we had, about five exhibitions, all different types. We had, the contemporary art sort of stuff, which was really good. And then we did a bit, I guess, photography, which wasn't so much contemporary art, just, photography as photography. But that was, my other friend's side of the stuff. The most interesting part of CAKE for me was the actual, performance night. So we just do these one nights, which happen bi-monthly, and they still do when I'm in the country. They're called Slam Jam Nights, and we put it as a slam night, but since we're kind of more interested in the performance side of things, we just leave it completely open, so anyone can come and do anything as long as it's open mic sort of thing. And we have people sign up, and then it's open mic, so after everyone goes up and does their thing, people are totally stoked and just want to get up and try something. And we get people from all over the country, and I've had people from San Francisco come and from France, which is kind of cool, just for Slam Jam, which is kind of insane to think about it. And it's the only project that I've run that has actually encapsulated a huge, overall community audience. And I get a lot of people on Facebook asking when the next one is. They actively seek me out and things, which is kind of cool. And I think that just shows that there is this this weak link in the UK art scene that's not all about performance. You know, we need more performance space. We need more spaces which are completely open for people to just come up and do something. So that was a good way, and to get dialogue going. And then there was another night that we put on, which was kind of similar. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like Bits and Pieces, which was kind of like you turn up where you just handed a proposal the night before, and we let you know by email, and it's got to be something small. You just come up and do your own thing, which is kind of cool. And then there's CAD, Contemporary Art is Dialogue, and we did this Fringe Art Festival, and we did, Sheffield has an art Biennale, which is Sheffield 08, Sheffield 10 as it was this year, and we didn't like what they were doing with it. So we were like, rather than kind of bitch about it, we would just go and create what we'd like to see, and or do some fanning like that actually creates a decision. So we did a bunch of things, like we broke into a gallery space that we weren't allowed to use and put on performances, and they weren't bothered by it. All the okay. And we did a walk-in, like, so we had locked ourselves in for 24 hours with one material, and we weren't allowed to sleep. We had to work collectively, and we weren't allowed to eat. The only thing we were allowed to do was go to the bathroom, which was okay in the corner. Yeah. And so that was kind of interesting. And there was a bunch of other things. We stole a piece of the art school land. So we took a huge piece of turf from our old art school and dropped it off in the middle of this, like, high-class gallery in the new art school. So we just dropped it off there. So there was still a piece of our old art school there, you know. Very golden backlog. So we did a bunch of things like that, and we still go on. We've put on symposiums. It's a bit more difficult now because we've all graduated and we're all kind of doing our different things, but we've put in a proposal together for an exhibition at Cube Gallery in Manchester, which should be kind of interesting. We've also did a piece about the market in Sheffield. That was really good last summer. Yeah, I'm sure there's other, oh, and then there's like other groups, but yeah.
Well, it's great talking to you, and we're going to make you do something for their school. We're going to do some kind of publication, I hope.
Yeah.
And we'll be hearing more from you. So, but thanks a lot. And I'm really happy to have you here at the art school.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.